coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey LeBounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Mark Lasseter.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Corey, Dalt, Phillip, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well this morning.
Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Corey.
Good morning. Always a pleasure to be on the Prep Sports Report 52 weeks out of the year.
All right, guys, we're wrapping up Mardi Gras. That's a good thing with me.
I'm ready to wrap it up.
I'm just glad for it.
I'm just glad it's warm finally.
Yeah, well, it looks like we got more rain coming. And tell you what, this morning we certainly want to be in, we want to be in prayer for the folks in Lee County around Beauregard, Alabama, and that entire county over there in Lee County, Alabama. And it's just, it's one of those disasters, catastrophes, terrible things that happens in our world, and you just can't do anything about it. And even though you're prepared, you hope you're prepared for these kind of disasters, it just shows us at this time when things like this happen that we're really not prepared for the devastation. When you look at the photos of the things that are just discombobulated, it's just unbelievable the damage that was done in that entire community. It's going to take a whole lot of effort from a lot of people and everybody's prayers to get those folks back on their feet, and I certainly hope that our listening audience is right there in the midst of prayer for Lee County, Alabama, and for, especially for that community of Beauregard. I can tell you right now, it's tough time. I know some of our listeners in Sylacauga, I know you folks are familiar with Carson Greer. His dad, Carson Greer Sr., was the president of the Little League in Sylacauga for many, many, many years. And Carson's now a coach over at Beauregard, and that community has just been devastated. So please keep them in your prayers and anything that you can do to help. The Red Cross is a great entity that you can certainly cipher funds to, send funds through. And I'm sure there's a lot of churches. I know our church is heavily involved in trying to do everything that they can to send all the relief efforts that they can to that area. But certainly they need our prayers, and anything that you can do, we certainly hope that you'll do it. It's devastating, Mark. And, school business is a tough business in a lot of ways, but when you see the devastation that storm did, it's just it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, and it's one of those things that we don't understand. Everybody, as humans, we always try to wrap our hands around, our brains around something. There's got to be a reason for something. Well, it doesn't. It's not a reason for things. It's just the way things are.
Yeah.
Things happen. Terrible things happen. And it's no easy way around it. But what we have to do, to my opinion, is we take care of one another in those instances as best we can. I'm not going to get into it now, but I'm going to talk about it during the grace segment today. There's something I want to talk about that goes along these lines. But I do want to make a shout out to the Benjamin Russell High School baseball team. It said Beauregard played Benjamin Russell, I think, yesterday or the day before. It says one bit of comfort for the heartbroken Hornets was that they came to a place that showed them support. Alexander City Parks and Recreation Director Sonny Wilson had made a sign that said, "We are BR, together we stand," with the B made out of Beauregard's logo and the R out of Benjamin Russell's typical BR logo. The two teams came together on the field prior to the game, held a moment of silence and prayer for the victims affected by Sunday's tornado. Shout out to the Alexander City Parks and Recs and Richie Brooks and his baseball team and that whole area out there. That's just one example, guys, that I've heard of things going on. But I love it when I see, young people getting involved to support one another, even if it's just a handshake. I'm telling you, I'm with you and praying for you in this very, very difficult time.
Mark, that's well said. And you mentioned a guy that you know, I don't think has got enough recognition. If you look at recognition that coaches get, you look at Richie Brooks, the job that he's done at Benjamin Russell for so many years. I was thinking about a friend of Corey's and mine, Randy Lee, who played for Richie Brooks. And boy, you want to hear somebody give a testimony about a coach? Let Randy Lee, you listen to him talk about the job that Richie Brooks has done with that baseball program at Benjamin Russell. And as you think about that, you look at what they're trying to do now to help those kids at Beauregard in every way that they can help them. Richie Brooks has got his baseball team doing everything they can to help those guys get back on their feet.
You know, and I'm just, you know, Richie's been a longtime friend of mine. We coached together there. Gosh, I remember the night he came to Coach Savarese's house and was interviewing for the job and came over to meet everyone. And that was back in the early 90s. And, you know, he came on board and he's been there ever since, and he was at Tarrant when he left there and came down, and has done a fantastic job, not only as a coach and a teacher, but just as a person in that community to reach out and help kids all these years. And, you know, Sonny Wilson, the director of the Parks and Recs, played for him there at Benjamin Russell. Yeah. Randy Lee played for him. Craig Lee played for him. And, it's, you know, I just appreciate the kind of man he is and what he does. And too much, you know, and we say this on here all the time, Rick, you know, too much goes unsaid about good things that coaches and communities and schools and athletes do. We hear a lot of negatives. We hear all the negative everywhere you turn, because that seems that's the way our society rolls today. We don't hear enough of the good things that are going on and how people's lives are being changed. I'm going to talk to Troy Brown here in just a little bit from Bayside Academy and what that young man has taught me. I think, what's he, 25, 26 years old?
He's young.
And he's taught me a couple of things this year that I am just really, he don't even know it. He doesn't even know what I'm going to say, but I kind of watch him, and man, what a job he's doing touching kids' lives. And so, you know, this is a morning that we have a lot of bad things that are happening, but I think in what happens in our world today when horrible things occur, it's how we handle it is what marks the character of us as people.
Well, I think that's something that's been said for years and years, Mark. It's not how you handle the good times in life. It's how you handle the adverse times in life, and to see how you bounce back from those situations. And that's something that certainly this entire state has dealt with. And we're dealing with it athletically, too. When you think about high school sports in the state of Alabama, I'm probably more disenfranchised, disillusioned about where we are in high school sports in the state of Alabama right now, because we got lawsuits going against the governing body of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, which needs to stop. It's got to stop. I mean, this stuff has got, it's gone on too long. We're going in directions that bother me to no end. The Alabama Supreme Court is having to deal with issues with the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I don't know when this is going to stop, but what really scares me is what direction we're going to go with high school athletics in this state. There's so many things that are going on that bother me. I'm looking at schools that it's no longer community schools. We're seeing kids transfer in from different places, and it's just we're just in a mess. And I don't know how to stop. I don't know what the answer is, but just a lot of things that are going on that really just hit real close to home for us as high school coaches. I was talking to a high school coach from North Alabama who called me earlier this week, and he said, "Coach, I don't know what direction to go. I really don't know what direction to go, because, you know, what's going to happen with the situation with this lawsuit?" And I said, "I don't know. Nobody knows. So we're all just kind of sitting back and waiting to see what happens. I hope it can end pretty soon, because it's got to stop. We got to put the focus back on these kids and get this stuff out of the court system." And it's just something that bothers me in my, 40 plus years of being in this business. I've never seen us at this point. And it doesn't have anything to do with our leadership, because I think we've got great leadership at the Alabama High School Athletic Association. It has to do with us with the legislature and the government trying to step into into our world and to try to tell us how to run high school athletics. I hope the legislature will step back and let the Alabama High School Athletic Association run high school sports. And that's kind of a something that's really bothered me for the last 2 weeks, and I don't know what direction we're going, but I certainly hope the government will step out and let the High School Athletic Association run high school sports in the state of Alabama. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with, Coach Barber. I think he's going to, who is it, Daryl Barber? Is
that yes,
who
sir.
Is? Well, we're going to spend some time with Coach Barber and talk a little high school basketball, and well, I got some thoughts on that, too. So I'll just let it all hang out tonight. I guarantee you. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I'm not going to interrupt those guys. No way I'm going to interrupt Steely Dan. So won't you smile for the camera? I bet Daryl Barber smiled for the camera two or three times at Legacy Arena the other night. I'm going to tell you when Daryl smiled. I can promise you this. When that kid stuck his head in the huddle and said, "Coach, give me the ball."
Yeah.
I tell you right now.
Like that,
I promise
you. That was something to smile about.
I'm telling you, Daryl Barber, the head basketball coach at Pinson Valley. And, boy, we're excited for you, Daryl. And congratulations on winning a state championship again.
You guys just
played remarkable and in a great environment, and kind of wanted to get your take on that. When that kid stuck his head in that huddle and said, "Coach, give me the ball," I want you to tell us exactly what you said when he said that.
Well, I was in the middle of getting ready to draw up a play, and when he said it the first time, I didn't quite hear him, and I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "Coach, I want the ball." So I looked around and I thought about it. And I said, "Well, you're going to get the ball." And then they came to the players chimed in, "Coach, he want the ball. Give him the ball."
That's right.
And it's just a true testament, man, to, you know, our belief in one another and, you know, my belief in him.
No question. Daryl Barber joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. That's going to be state champion, the first ever in the history of Pinson Valley boys basketball. They won the football state championship, back-to-back state championships earlier this year. But Coach, you have a dynamic backcourt and a great player, and I call it ice in a glass and Kool-Aid, because you've got Cam Woods, who's your dynamic junior, and then you have Kool-Aid McKinstry, who has the best nickname in high school that I can come up with and that I've heard. But talk about those two young men and what they meant to your program, as you did defeat Carver Montgomery 58-44 in the 6A boys state championship last week.
Yeah, correct. Well, a lot of people may not know, but those two guys have been friends probably since elementary school, and once they had the opportunity to play with each other, it was a no-brainer. And being that Kool-Aid is a sophomore and Cam is a junior, Kool-Aid kind of looks up to him as a big brother. So when they got the chance to play with each other, man, it was just remarkable. And, you know, myself and Cam coming over from midfield, you know, it was just a tremendous combination with those two on the court. I mean, you have to pick your poison. Everybody knows about Cam. And at times, people tend to forget about Kool-Aid, which I don't understand why. But with those two in the backcourt, man, I just think it helps us a lot. And I think we're hard to defend.
No question about it. You also have an Austin Peay football commit in G. Pollard, who was instrumental and just kind of helped with the chemistry of this team, and he was very unselfish. I know you guys created a special bond throughout the season. Talk about what G. Pollard meant to this basketball team this year as well.
Yeah, G was a vital piece of what we want to do. And let me say this. Coming over to Pinson, it was just a blessing, because I knew those guys already, and I kind of had a relationship with them, so it just kind of fit, you know. And early on in the season, He was trying to go get his, for lack of better words. You know, coming off the football field, he felt he was a senior. He felt it was his team, and he was struggling. He would go up and down. And one day we just had a meeting, and I said, "Gee, let me let you understand something. You already signed to play football. You're going to school for free. Enjoy your basketball season and just do whatever this team needs you to do." And he looked at me. He said, "Coach, you know what? I was so used to being the man," he said, "but I understand what you're trying to say now." And from there, he took off, man. He was just The guy on the glass for us, he has tremendous athleticism. And once he understood his role and accepted his role, man, I think that's when you start to see us take off. So he was very crucial for us down the stretch.
Coach Barbie, you've won state championships at midfield coaching the boys. You've been on a state championship team coaching the girls with midfield as well. Talk about what the difference is between coaching girls and guys, because I know you have Balling with Barber, your skills and fundamental camp that you run. And, you know, basketball is a game of fundamentals, and sometimes it's a lost art. People just want to go in the gym and play, and you're teaching guys and gals the individual skills that they need to become better basketball players. Talk about that.
Well, I think it has helped me so much, man. Coming up, I first started coaching girls. I never forget, Ronald Steele first got into coaching. You know, I was one of his mentors, and he asked me, Coach, what's the difference? And back then, I told him, I said, Ron, when I coach them, there is no difference. Of course, the physicalities may be different, but my verbiage and the way I got on them, as well as the way I love them, it was no difference to me. But let me say this about the girls' game. I've always enjoyed coaching girls, and I miss it at times. That's why I enjoy training them, because these guys nowadays, they're so caught up in the YouTube and mixtape era. But these young ladies, they know that they have to develop their skills. But with me, every season I go into the beginning of the season and I tell my guys, I say, look, I'm coming in, we're in kindergarten, you don't know anything. And we just start out with skill development, man. So just coaching the girls' game has helped me tremendously on the boys' side, because it doesn't matter how good of a player you are, how much athleticism you have, how you can jump, you must be fundamentally sound.
We're talking to Daryl Barber, the head coach at Pinson Valley, who won the 6A state championship. And, Coach, it's kind of ironic that we've got you on this morning, because I was thinking about this earlier in the week, and I want to get your opinion on this.
Okay.
I coached basketball in inner city Birmingham in the early 80s. Jack Dawson and I were the only two Caucasian guys that would that Cap Brown would recognize. Cap kind of took us both in as he was our mentor in a lot of ways. Right. Inner city basketball in Birmingham is nothing like it used to be. There are no Ennis Watley. There are no Buck Johnsons or Marvin Ray Johnsons. Right. It's just not what it used to be. Tell me why inner-city basketball in Birmingham is now at the level that it is. Is it because there are not the coaches, there are not the Cap Browns, there's not those people that really just live their life through basketball 12 months out of the year? What's going on with inner-city basketball in Birmingham?
Well, let me say this with being here now 20 years and coaching 15 years. I think we still have the players in the inner city, but what I see is happening now is that the schools, and I can speak to this just coming from midfield, and midfield was great to me, so it's not a knock on them, but just the schools within themselves, I don't think they are understanding what it takes to keep the athletes there as it relates to facilities, getting programs in, even on the academic side. So what you see now is that a lot of kids are going to the outskirts, over the mountain, to Jefferson County, to different schools where there are better facilities. And I think there's still good coaches there, but what we're seeing now is that a lot of these coaches are now, you can't coach the way you used to coach back when you were in coaching,
no.
Even when I first started. So what has happened now, you've seen a widespread of kids leaving. So I think the talent is still there. I just don't think the schools within themselves are understanding what it takes financially to keep coaches. You know, community-wise, not getting behind the schools. Just the academic programs. I can speak to what we have at Pinson. It's just a wide range, and there's more for kids to get into. So you're just seeing an influx of kids going everywhere now.
That's a great answer, Coach. And again, you know, you are a state championship coach at the 3A level, now at the 6A level, and have been able to coach at all levels, boys or girls, and I just want to tip my cap to you. You have Cam Woods, who was just nominated to play in the North-South game. Again, talk to us about what Cam means to you. Again, he joined you from midfield coming over to Pinson Valley, and just kind of recap your season for everyone.
Yeah, well, first of all, Cam was selected, which is a great honor for not only himself, but just the school system and the community of Pinson and our basketball program. Him coming over, man, I mean, he's been with me since seventh grade, and I've coached a lot of talent, let me say that, on the boys and girls side. But it's just, when you have the it factor and you're not afraid to fail, it just goes a long ways. Cam is one of those kids that can miss his first 10 shots and think the next one is going in. Cam is one of those kids that can make a turnover and come back, and it's, he's forgotten about it. And when you have a kid, the bigger the stage is, the bigger his eyes get, that's not afraid to fail, man. And sometimes, you know, he wants to win so bad that it comes off wrong to people, but you have to really get to know this kid, and he's a gamer. So him coming over actually helped a lot with the transition for these guys understanding what it would take to make a state title run. Because, man, you know, quite frankly, we have Kool-Aid, we have Jordan, we have all these talented kids, but they've never been out of the Sweet 16. So he was instrumental in that. And just this season within itself, man, it was tremendous. You know, coming over from midfield, this is the first year where I had to deal with a team going to the state title in the football game. So we were without those guys for a while. And so other guys had to step up, and it was just a testament to those guys for allowing me to come in, trusting in me, allowing me to coach them. As I stated before, I'm their third coach in 4 years. So for them to trust me and just open arms to me, that meant a lot, man. And we had some trying times, and through it all, we still found a way to get it done. We just knew we had to do things the right way. We knew we had to be blue collar, and we had to stick together, man. So it was a tremendous ride. It was a bumpy ride, but at the end of the day, you know, we ended up where we wanted to end up with our ultimate goal of being state champions.
Well, Darryl, thank you for spending time with us. We got about 30 seconds left here, and I want to ask you this question. I want you to give me an honest answer, because I know you will. McKinstry's the state's number one football prospect next year.
Right.
Is this a kid who can play both sports at the next level? Real quick.
No question. He'll be the first kid to be number one football, number one basketball. He can play them easily with no problem.
Well, I look forward to talking to you soon, Darryl. Thanks a bunch, and congratulations, pal.
All right, thank you all for having me.
Take care. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, the home of Radio Alabama, the Big Yay in Sylacauga, and the Lake 105.1, covering the river region and 43,000 acres of beautiful water covering Lake Martin, Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report. And we got Tim Becker sitting on hold, and he'll just be there for just a second. We need to go to Aaron real quick. Want to kind of promote this American Legion golf tournament next week. Aaron, we only got about a minute or so, so if you'll just quickly run down what we got and how to get in touch with you guys.
Good morning, Rick. This is Aaron with the American Legion again. Thanks for having me on this morning. Just to give an update on our golf tournament on the 23rd, coming up at the Spring Hill course out there. We're still looking for sponsorships and some help there. And the number to call is 234-0386. That'll be my number. My name is Aaron. And also, I wanted to mention this, and I'm going to have the man who's in charge of the American Legion Baseball to give you guys a call, that we're looking for coaches for this year's American Legion Baseball events that we got going on also. And I just wanted to check in with you guys this morning. Good program going on. And I'm on my way to fry fish for my veteran this morning. And thanks for the opportunity to let me talk to you this morning, guys.
We appreciate it, Aaron, and we'll do everything we can to get that word out there, pal. Appreciate it.
I know that about you. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, take care. All right, let's go to the CNC communication lines, and let's talk to the head baseball coach over at McGill-Tulane, Tim Becker. Tim, how you doing, pal?
Doing fine, thank you. Good morning. Appreciate you having me this morning.
Good morning, Coach. I know it's spring is in the air. A lot of baseball is being played, and I know you guys had an exciting top 10 matchup this week with Faith Academy, and your guys are en route now to play another weekend stretch of baseball. Talk to us about your game this week with Faith Academy and where you're heading this morning.
Well, it was really exciting to go play at Faith Academy the other night, because obviously they're reigning state champions from last year in 5A, and you know, so far this year we've already played three state championship teams from last year, Mobile Christian and of course Faith Academy, and you know, we just keep adding to the quality of players, teams that we play. But when we played the other night, it was nice. It was a great crowd, and Chandler Best for us, he threw six innings. He had 11 strikeouts, no walks. He gave up one hit, and that was in the first inning. They scored in the first inning and went up 1-0, and then we were able to come back and score 4 in the second, and then 2 in the top of the third, and it stayed that way until the bottom of the seventh, when they scored 2 runs off of Sean Mason when he came in to pitch. But again, Faith Academy's got a great team, and it was a great win for McGill-Tulane.
Coach, you're en route now to play a game today. Talk about who your opponent is today.
Yeah, we're going to go to right in the outskirts of Panama City, Florida. We're headed there now. We play at Lynn Haven, Florida. We play Mosley High School. And I know John Hudson, the head coach there. We played together when I played at Gulf Coast in Panama City a long time ago. And like I said, we've stayed friends. And we're going over there to play this one. I think they're 3-4-0 right now. And I don't even think they've allowed a run this year. So this is going to be a tough matchup for us, because they have a good program.
I know, Coach, we were talking yesterday about how hard it is with games and doubleheaders and with all the rain that Mobile has had to get in practice time. I know kids love to play games, but in order to get better, you have to work on correcting errors and mistakes that have been made, and there's no better time to do that than practice. With baseball being an outdoor sport, there's not like you have an indoor facility that you can go to and work on the fundamentals of the game. But tell us about that struggle that's been going on, not only for your program, but probably for a lot of other baseball programs as well.
Yeah, we went to Jackson, Mississippi last weekend, and of course we were able to get our games in. I know UMS right there went there, Faith Academy, some other teams went there, you know, and some of them, they lost some of their games, weren't able to play them, you know. But, you know, I know Coach Walker, one of our assistant coaches, mentioned to me yesterday that our first full practice, our last full practice we had on the field was like February 25th. You know, we really, because either we've been playing or it's been raining. And so we, a lot of our stuff has been hidden in the cages. We've been cage rats the last couple, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. So, but you're right. I mean, baseball is one of those things where you have to get out and do the fundamental things outside, ground balls and bunt coverages, first and third, double cuts, everything. And a lot of teams haven't been able to do that. So, but we were able to have a full practice last night, so it was good. And we'll hope that'll help us a little bit.
We're talking with Tim Becker, the head baseball coach of the McGill-Tulane Yellow Jackets. Coach, I know anytime you're talking about practice, your JV team leads to your varsity. It's your feeder program. But a very impressive feat this past week in a no-hitter, a perfect game was thrown by one of your JV players. Let everybody know about that.
Yeah, this past week, Larkin Toth threw a perfect game for us through seven innings. Really had a great outing. And our kids played, you know, good defense. Of course, you got to have good defense behind that, too, because that's no errors, no walks. And like I said, he faced a minimum 21 hitters, and our JV team was able to beat Theodore 6-0. And that's exciting for him. And like I said, he's a young man that's actually traveling with us today. And a lot of times we like to take our JV kids to trips like this so they can see, you know, what varsity level is like. It's a big difference. You know, the speed of the game is greater, but it was exciting for Larkin and the team for what he accomplished last week.
I tell you, somebody else has to be very excited. It's just the whole McGill-Tulane baseball program in regards to Bubba Thompson getting an opportunity here in spring ball to get some at-bats with the Texas Rangers, and he did very well in having an opportunity to get his first hit in the major leagues. Talk to us about Bubba Thompson and what he's been able to teach your team and how they aspire to get to where Bubba is.
You know, he's one of those players that was always the first one to practice, and all you had to kick him out. I mean, he always wanted to stay after practice was over and hit some extra, take some fly balls, whatever he had to do to make himself better. And it was really exciting last week. I know they had a game and have it on video where he hit a home run to dead center field. And of course, that excites our players as well and our coaches, because, you know, I know our coaches have been impactful in his life. And of course, every time he comes back, our kids are just wide-eyed, and, you know, because now they're seeing what he's accomplished and what he's done. And again, he's been a great leader for our program.
Talk to us about your upcoming schedule this week when you guys get back into playing local teams. Who does McGill-Tulane see this week, and any other games from other schools as well that you'll be looking forward to people going out and supporting high school baseball?
Yeah, there's a lot of great baseball, and I want to say this too. When we played at Faith Academy the other day, the seats were packed. And like I said, I know it was two teams that were ranked in the state, but it was really exciting to see, because there was kids there from UMS Wright, Mary Montgomery, different schools, Baker, St. Paul's, and, you know, they were there to see good baseball, and I know there'll be some good games coming up. I know area play started in Baldwin County, but as far as McGill-Tulane, we play a brutal schedule. So next week we play Madison Central. We play them at the Lip, and that'll be a 6:00 game. And I know they had 11 D1 signees last year. So I don't know how good they'll be, but I do know this: they run just a tremendous program, and they're coming down here to play some quality teams down here. We play Davidson High School on Thursday. That game is also at the Lip. And then we play UMS Wright and Mary Montgomery in a three-way on Saturday, and those games will be at UMS Ryan. So.
Tim, thanks a bunch, pal. I know that you're one of the that dates me as well. You go all the way back to your junior college days, and great days in life. The baseball world that you traveled. I was just thinking as you were talking there, I saw you play in great days. I was working a camp in the 80s up in upper state New York, and you played in an all-star game with John Cangelosi and some of those guys. And hadn't baseball taken us all around the world, buddy? It really
does. Yeah, sure does. And it kind of reminds me with this trip we're on this morning of being in the Florida State League and the New York Yankees organization, taking that, you know, 4, 5, 6 hour bus ride, getting off the bus and playing games. I was joking with the players about that. Of course, they're all sleeping right now. So.
But you were excited. Every stop you made, you were ready to jump out there and take fun goes, and I know. I can just see it now. So it's,
I appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Take care and good luck, and have a safe trip, pal.
Okay.
That's Tim Becker, one of the good guys. I'm telling you, he does a great job, boy.
Yes,
he does a really great job with baseball. We're really blessed in this area to have some really great baseball coaches. I think about the job that Lloyd Skoda did at Faith, and now Matt Seymour's doing over there, and the young coach you guys have got at Bayside, the job Kevin Raley does at UMS, and Andy Robbins at St. Paul's, and you got Tim over at at McGill. Golly, there's just some really great, great baseball coaches and good, solid men, Mark, that just do a great job of investing in our children's lives.
They really are. They're good people, and they do a good job. They do a great job of relaying life through the game that they coach, which is the essence of coaching, in my opinion, is how you can relay everything that they're going to in a ball game or in a season or whatever, how it can relate to their life 25 years from now. And those things still hold true.
Yeah.
You know, the things that you go through, the things that you face, good and bad, and what it relates to 25 years, they'll face the same type thing, same type situations. And these guys teach these guys, you know, one thing, never give up, never quit.
That's true. You know, and Corey, I noticed as he said that young man's name, the Toth, sounds familiar.
It should.
It is
Travis's son. Yeah. And, of course, Eric Toth, I do believe, is playing at Coastal Alabama South for the Sun Chiefs this season. And, again, that Toth family just continues to produce and cultivate young baseball athletes.
Well, it couldn't be. He's in a great program, just in a great program. And, we are so blessed in this area just to have so many wonderful, wonderful coaches that just do such a remarkable job. I cease to be amazed when I look around the state of Alabama and I think about down here in this section of Alabama, in Mobile and Baldwin counties, just the wonderful men and women that we have. And, boy, we don't talk about it nearly as much. Corey hits home with it a lot. But, boy, we've got some wonderful, amazing people that coach women's sports and just do a great job with it. And, boy, how far women's sports has advanced since we first got into this, Mark. It's amazing. And it gives so many young ladies an opportunity to compete at the level that they so richly deserve to be able to compete on.
Absolutely.
It's just so neat. So, so neat. We want to talk about the All-Star game. You know, the North and South All-Stars have been picked. We got a lot of young local talent that will be upcoming seniors next year. We'll tell you about them when we come back. Right here on PSR. Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Look out behind you. JoJo's got me gone.
Yep. Steely Dan, Boz Scaggs.
I could just sit and listen to that most of the day today, Coach.
Well, then that's what you need to do, Mark.
You don't need to go
to your yard and do all the planting the tulips. And
yeah, I can put my phone in my pocket, my earbuds
there
in.
There you go. Yeah. I'm sure Michelle will cheerlead you on that, too.
Nah, she'll just let me go.
There you go. Okay. Good stuff. Boz Scaggs.
Yes, sir.
You know, we, I guess when you get old, you get a chance to watch these little guys grow up and get to get to hear stories about him. This guy that we're about to talk to, his grandfather drove our bus on every away trip that we coached while Steve Savarese was at Daphne.
Is that right?
I'm telling you right now. Amazing man. Loved him dearly. He always had great words of wisdom. And if you ran a bad play, he told you about it. He was such a sweet, sweet man and a sweet spirit, and he loved his son, loved his children. And I know he's proud of this grandchild right now, and as he sits in the pearly gates of heaven. But I can tell you right now, Troy Brown is a kid I've watched grow up from, ever since Bina was able to yell out accolades and get on to him. But comes from a great family, and think the world of this young man. And I'm glad to hear the great reports that you give, Mark, on Troy Brown. Troy, good morning, pal. Baseball coach at Bayside. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning. Thank you all for having me on this early.
we got you up a little early, didn't we, buddy?
Sure did. We had a nice little early wake-up call.
Well, tell everybody where you are right now. Y'all are playing some baseball, right?
Yeah, we're in Skippersville, Alabama. We played Headland High School last night. We're able to actually pull away on a victory and beat a really good 4A school. Had to score 4 in the 7th inning to close out a victory. And
that's awesome.
We have Wicksburg High School today. And after that, we play GW Long. So we're facing some really good competition, which I think is really going to help us in the future.
You know, GW Long, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, has perennially been a really, really good baseball program. So going up there is helping you out. What are you seeing from your team there that you really like so far?
Well, honestly, we're very young, but the great thing about our kids is that they're always willing to work. And, you know, you can get on to them, and they're going to understand, why you're getting on to them. And they use that as energy and motivation to help them out. So, yesterday we faced a lot of adversity. We did not play very well in the first couple of innings. And I was very excited to see, what kind of, team we actually have. If we have a bunch of front runners, or if we actually have, what we like to call some bulldogs, to where, if the game gets tight, are we going to fold, or are we going to rise up to the occasion? And, when we scored 4 in the top of the 7th, I think we're moving in the right direction.
Absolutely, Coach. We're talking to Troy Brown, baseball coach at Bayside Academy, also the strength and conditioning coach at Bayside Academy, and just doing a fantastic job there for us. Coach, tell us about who all is in Bayside's area this year. What are the area teams that we're going to have to compete with to make it to the next round?
Yeah, so they switched it up. Since Mobile Christian moved up last year, just because of their dominance, now we match up with St. Michael's and Flemington. I haven't been able to watch many games of Flemington, but I know in the past they've been a really good team. But I have been able to watch a couple games of St. Michael's, and they're a young team as well, just like us. But they play extremely hard, and they're well coached. So I'm excited for what our guys are going to do.
Troy, you need to send Bean up to Flemington. Let him scout for you. And
he's already asked.
Okay.
That's good stuff. Does that surprise you?
not in the slightest.
Oh, he's a proud daddy, and I don't blame him. I got to see him the other night when we were playing at home and talked to him for a minute, and he's a very proud father, and he has every right to be. Troy, because you're doing a great job there, and I've enjoyed watching you over this last couple of years, watching what you do with our kids. And I think the best compliment that you'll ever get from kids is when they talk about you when we're not around. And I dropped in on a conversation the other day. I heard a couple of guys talking about how you worked them in the weight room and how much they'd gotten better. And they were just talking. It wasn't anything they were trying to do anything. They were just talking, and that really impresses me. And I just want to tell you thank you for that, for what you're doing for the kids at Bayside Academy.
Oh, it's not a problem. When you have kids that want to come in and work every day, it makes my job a lot easier. And I have a great support staff, as you know, around at Bayside. So I get to learn and feed off everyone that's there. And it's just a great community and a great family to have.
You know, that's a good point too, Troy. You look at the mentors you have in that school. You have Phil Lazenby, you have Mark Lassiter, you have Doug Lefford. I mean, you just got a great group of guys around you that you can just feed off of them. And that is I'm telling you, that is something that every day you just need to be a sponge and soak up as much as you can soak up around those guys.
Definitely. That's what I like to do. I like to hang around them. I like to, you know, hear what they talk about. At times we have lunch duty together, and I just want to pick their brains as much as I can, because I know there's a lot of knowledge that I can learn from everyone that's there.
Well, Troy, we're mighty proud of you. I want to give you one bit of advice. You be very careful when you drive through Dafty, because there's another Brown out there that will be watching you. I can promise you. I speak certainly from past occurrences. Let's just put it that way.
Troy, you got to watch out for that.
Yeah, Troy's brother is a police officer in Dafty. And I know that David and all those guys are mighty proud of him as well. And really am proud of the job that he does serving the community of Dafty. And thank you for what you do, Troy. I know a lot of people are very proud of you, and you just keep doing what you're doing, and we look forward to watching you as you grow in your career, pal.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for having me on, and go Admirals.
There you go, buddy. Thank you, pal. Good luck today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. You know, he's in Skipperville.
Skipperville, a tough place to play anything.
I'm telling you, that's a tough place to play. That's where Kevin Raley cut his teeth, I can tell you right now.
Good for him. Big win last night for him. Anytime you can come back, score four runs, top of the seventh, to win a ball game, it's a pretty big deal.
No doubt about it. Guys, want to mention a group of people over in the Atlanta area, over in Marietta and Canton and Douglasville. If you're in that area, if you're in Georgia, if you're in the Atlanta area and you're headed to anything over there, we got a lot of people that travel those roads, especially those folks up around Talladega County. If you're in Marietta, Canton, or Douglasville, go by and see our buddies at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. Just keep on getting review after review after review. Had some friends of ours from Birmingham who shared with us that they had stopped in Canton and ate at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. Said they'll go back time and time again because of the service and because of the great barbecue. Our buddy Larry Williamson hails from Talladega, Alabama. He and his brother have started a great, great business there, been in business for a long time in those areas. And I hope that you'll go by and visit our buddies at Williamson Brothers Barbecue in Marietta, Canton, and Douglasville. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labonte.
All right, welcome back to Prep Sports Report. Second hour. First hour flew by. We appreciate our guest. Man, it's always good to see those young guys. You see Troy Brown as he starts his coaching career. We're going to see your son as he starts his coaching career. It's just so much fun watching that.
It is.
And appreciate Tim Becker. Golly, followed him. God, I saw him play baseball all over the country. I'm surprised I didn't umpire one of his games. I don't know what the deal was on that. I don't guess we went down into Florida and the junior colleges down there during those days. But, heck, we went everywhere else. Terry Curtis and I ought to write a book about the places we've been to umpire college baseball. That's for sure. You know what? I really want to give a gift certificate away. And I'm not going to do it today because it would be unfair to the people in South Alabama that listen to us. But I bet you if I ask who is Caden Milliken, I bet you that everybody north of Birmingham could tell you who this young man is. You're talking about what Corey calls it, lightning in a bottle. I mean, this young man has been Johnny on the spot 2 years in a row. He's made the winning basket in two state championship games. And, boy, I'm telling you, I can tell you who does know who he is. Robbie Coker knows who he is, that's for sure. And we've got Robbie on. Robbie is head basketball coach at Plainview High School, who won the 3A state championship this year, 54-52, over that young man from up the Huntsville area, one that you ought to know a little bit about, Mark Laster, Ronnie Stapler, up at Westminster Christian. And he's one of the legends in Huntsville and Huntsville High School basketball, and coached at Grissom for many, many years, and now at Westminster Christian. And Robbie Coker had a big win over those Westminster Christian guys and Ronnie Stapler. Robbie, thanks for joining us on Prep Sports Report, pal.
Thanks for having me, man. There's no doubt Caden Milliken, he's not had many lunches in Rainsville, Alabama for a long, long time.
I love that coach quote. I love that quote. And, Coach, you're talking about the young man who hit the game-winning three-point shot that was on ESPN, the number one play of the day a year ago in overtime to beat Hillcrest Evergreen. And then this past year, he did a couple of weeks, or last week, as a matter of fact, you hit him on a backdoor cut on what turned out to be a design play, as I was calling that game for the AHSAA radio network. I just thought that they were denying and overplaying him on the three-point wing, and he cut back door, but it's a play that you actually got and took from Belmont, if I'm not mistaken, and when they beat UCLA on a backdoor cut. But what a wonderful game and a tremendous way to finish your season and go back-to-back as 3A state champions.
Thanks, Corey. You know, ironically, you get lucky and that play works, and nobody talks about blowing an 11-point lead up to that point. This group of guys has just been so resilient, such an unselfish group. They've played together their whole lives. They've got a tremendous amount of trust in one another, trust in our program, and to be able to execute that play in that situation, I think speaks for their mental toughness.
Talk about your schedule. I know when I was upstairs talking to Marty Smith and you came up and you bumped into Coach Smith, it was my first opportunity to meet you face-to-face and have an opportunity to talk a little basketball with you. I just wanted to know the success. What was the strategy in your team being able to take and make so many three-pointers? You know, that old saying, you live by the three, you die by the three. But your team, you can be 0 of 15 from beyond the arc and make your next 15 and turn out to be 15 of 30.
Yeah, you know, it's a sense of confidence. This group really bought into getting in the gym and working on their game. I'd love to tell you that when we got to Plainview, we said, hey, we're going to set this record for three-pointers, and it's going to lead to two state championships. But it's kind of something kind of evolved. We realized that the guys we had, the skill set, we didn't have a, you know, for some reason we don't have a post player in the school. And just kind of evolved into those guys as they worked and showed that they could make those shots. As a coach, I became looser and looser, I guess, or gave a more green light. And it kind of really developed into our identity offensively. It was that, you know, we're going to spread the floor, we're going to make the right play, and if you're open, let it fly.
When you cut your teeth, I know you were on Andy Kennedy's staff at Ole Miss, and you and I had an opportunity to talk about that. But I saw Coach Kennedy at the game actually having an opportunity to watch your team win the 3A state championship at the buzzer. What does it mean to get that type of support? Because so many coaches, especially someone like Andy Kennedy, so many coaches, they'll send their best wishes, but to actually be there and to witness it and to support you, tell us what you learned from him.
No, AK's a man's man. Anybody's been around him, he shoots straight. He's a very loyal guy. When I was able to break through and get my first job at Clay Chalkwell, Coach Kennedy actually went and ate lunch with the principal to help me get the job. So I wasn't surprised. He's been supporting me for a long, long time. He's a, for me personally, you know, it was a cool moment. I got to hang out with him before the game, you know, and obviously he's living in Birmingham now doing the SEC TV gig. And Jerry Billis better be worried, because I'm telling you, he's going to be the best in the country if he continues to pursue that path.
He's already pretty doggone good, I'll tell you that, Robbie. He's pretty doggone good. Those of us that do that, I can tell you he's pretty doggone good. He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, no doubt, man. He just sees the game. He's so quick-witted. He's super intelligent. I think it's on display now on the TV screen. And then also, what's kind of lost in the deal, the remarkable job he did at Ole Miss. I don't think anyone understands truly what we inherited when we got there. They've been on four consecutive losing seasons. In a league where you have a bunch of bye games, it's hard to have a losing season, and they had four consecutive when we got there. Coach Kennedy righted the ship and won the SEC West his first year. Of course, we know the success now. He's the winningest coach in school history, and I think John Calipari made the comment that we'll all be long gone before anybody ever breaks that record. So he's just showing, you know, how intelligent and how well he sees the game.
We're talking with Plainview head boys basketball coach Robbie Coker, the back-to-back 3A boys state champions here in the state of Alabama. Coach, talk about your overall season and the growth of your team. I know you played against 3A, 4A, 5A, 6A level competition the entire season, but to see it ultimately culminate in a state championship for the second consecutive year at the BJCC. Talk individually. We talked about Caden Milligan, but talk about the other guys and your community and the support that they've given Plainview basketball.
Yeah, Plainview's a special school. You know, it's our community is called Rainsville, Alabama. The school, obviously, Plainview is in the middle of the town, and everything is scheduled around the school calendar. It's a place that supports its athletics. It's a place that supports its academics. We've got a phenomenal school and support and great administrators, great teachers. It's just a special place. It's a great place to have a family. You know, I've got two little ones now in the system. I got a first grader and a pre-K guy. So it's a great school system. You talked about the other guys. Kobe Tinker, obviously the 3A state tournament MVP, a guy that has really, really worked on his game. Him and Caden came up on the varsity as freshmen. That was their 125th win. You know, you went 125 games in 4 years. You're doing something right. He was really able to get going in the third quarter. He made those five threes, kind of give us that lead. But the two guys that kind of get misrepresented, maybe is the right word, is number 12, Hayden White, and number 15, Heyman. Another two seniors. I've told the story, and you guys can cut me off. But Hayden White, I coached those guys in every grade, 7 through 12. Hayden White, as a seventh grader, was the seventh man, scored 16 points at an attempt of three. In the last 2 years, he's made 133 scores. That's just a you know, straight commitment and hard work paying off for a kid. And then Dane Heyman, the kid looks like a 140 pounds, and our starting five, Jackson Hush, tore his ACL in football season, the third week of football. So we moved Dane to the five. So he was in there battling every, you know, the guys he's guarded this year have outweighed him and outsized him by 4 or 5 inches and 40 pounds every night. He's had to guard Zondra Garrick at Oxford. He had the big kid at Westminster. You know, I mean, he's just always constantly in there fighting, having to defend someone so much bigger than him. But on the other end, they have to guard him, and I think you saw him drive the ball, create some angles for some easy threes for some other guys. He had that great up-and-under move to score to basket. Really had a great game and was all-state tournament. So it's a collective effort. We didn't talk about the two young fellows that play point for us, Tristan Willingham and Cole Milliken, Caden's little brother. Just a special group, man. A group that I tell people all the time, it'd be unbelievable in four-man basketball.
Hey, Robbie, thanks. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Let me give you do this. Next year, why don't you schedule Sylacauga and Talladega? Go play in Sylacauga. Go to the Round Palace in Talladega. Play those two teams, Chucky Miller and those guys. That'll be some good competition with some good coaching. I'd love to see you guys do that. You guys play as good as you can play every year, and I'd love to see that take place.
You know, those guys are good guys. We played Talladega 2 years ago at Jacksonville State, and we always go to Sylacauga as team camp.
Good.
A great team camp.
Yeah.
We play those guys. You're right. That's a fun style of basketball. Those guys are very similar to us.
Good.
Coach, I'm actually working a deal with Chucky right now. We're trying to schedule a game as we speak.
That's great stuff. Hey, congratulations, Robbie. We look forward to talking to you soon, pal. See you down the road. All right, buddy. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show. Back
in high school. All right, we promised you state championship coaches this Saturday, and we got Tim Miller on the line next. But we're going to go to the CNC Communication Lines and talk to David real quick. David, what you got going on out there today, pal?
I got a lot full of cars. I need some customers.
I heard that.
The rain's cleared, hopefully, and people be out and about. Mardi Gras over. I'm waiting on some tax returns and move some units.
T- Tell them how they can get in touch with you guys over there now.
Right there at the split of Spring Hill and Moffitt, right by the Crichton Leprechaun. You can call us at 251-338-9019 or look us up online at cncfinancialautosales.com. It's that simple.
CNC Financial and Auto Sales. I'm going to tell you right now, great folks out there. Go by and see David. Tell him Coach sent you by there, and he'll give you all kind of goodies, too. I can promise you that. That guy's got knowledge coming left, right, up, north, and south. I can promise you. So, David, thanks for what y'all do for high school sports, pal.
We appreciate it. Same thing to you guys.
Take care.
Have a good weekend.
Let's go back to high school coaches, state championship coaches. This guy's got some pretty strong pedigree here now. I can tell you right now, Tim Miller has won everywhere he's been, and his guy's just demolished Opelika in the state championship game. I think it's, 55-31, and those guys, those young ladies had a tremendous season, and Hazel Green was undefeated in in-state competition. I mean, Corey, they've won, 55, 56 straight games against in-state teams, and they're 63-1 against Alabama opposition over the last two seasons. So, Tim Miller, congratulations on another great season, and it just keeps getting better and better up in Hazel Green, doesn't it, pal?
Well, it's a good time right now. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Coach, congratulations on being back-to-back 6A girls state championships. You look at it's your sixth title. It never gets old. You've been coaching girls basketball for 19 seasons as the high school coach. You won a title at Jeff Davis, three at Bob Jones, and now back-to-back at Hazel Green. And you've had now a week to reflect, Coach. Talk to us about this team this year and what they meant to you.
This team's got to be at the very top for me. As far as, you know, we didn't have a Division I player on the team. You know, and kids just want to play for each other and, you know, want to play for the school and want to play for me. And you get a bunch of kids out there that just want to play hard and don't care who scores the points and don't care who gets the accolades and genuinely care when somebody does get an MVP award, then all the other kids feel like, you know, they're just a part of that also. That was something special. It was not a norm this year, you know, because I didn't have one parent meeting all season long.
Wow.
That's not normal nowadays.
Right. I think you made a great point about in your post-game news conference about coaches and the way that coaching has changed throughout the years, but you had a group of parents that supported you and said, hey, you can show that tough love to my daughter, and I think that makes a difference because they know it's genuinely to make them not only a better basketball player but tough in life as well, Coach.
There's no doubt. You know, it allowed me to coach, you know, focus on coaching more when, you know, you had a few of the parents where, you know, I felt like I might have scolded too hard, and here come them tough set of parents, well, Coach, get on her more. which was fun for me, but, you know, I wasn't going to do that. But it was just fun because all of them stayed out of the way and allowed me to do my job and trusted the process of what we were doing.
You know, and we're talking to Tim Miller, the head women's basketball coach at Hazel Green, and when you look at Farrah Pearson, nobody's recruiting her.
Well, she did after last weekend. She picked up Alabama A&M. They did offer.
That's outstanding.
Man, that is great.
But, you know, so she's such a – I've been trying to push her on, you know, a few colleges, but they feel like, you know, she might be a little undersized as a post. So we're going to try to develop her maybe to three or four, you know, this spring and summer and for next year and try to get her off the block. Let her put the ball on the floor and shoot some mid-range.
I tell you what, Coach, you have a tremendous on-ball defender and a great point guard in Marissa Snodgrass, and she was able to sit down and defend any other team's best ball handler. I know you guys gave Blunt down here the Blues in the semifinals, and you knew going in what you had to do to contain Blunt's great guard play, and Snodgrass did exactly that for you, Coach.
She did. I mean, no. We played a lot of good basketball teams this year. You know, we lost to Riverdale, you know, who at that time was ranked number 8 in the country, and we lost to New Hope Academy out of Baltimore, Maryland. You know, they were number 12 in the country at that time. We lost to them by 12. So anyway, she had to defend all these Division I players over and over and over and over. You know, she's one of them kids that just she loves the challenge. You know, coach, I'll do it. You know, and go out there and give her her best. I mean, she embraced that type of defense.
You know, when you look at what you're doing, Tim, what you're saying is we want our program to be at the apex. We want to be as good as we can be, but if we lose 8, 9, 10 games, so be it. We're going to play the best teams. I think didn't you play Southwest DeKalb?
We did, and
they're playing.
How'd they do this year over there?
Yeah, I mean, they
looked it up.
Yeah, I mean, last time I noticed, they were in the finals of the 5A Georgia tournament.
There it is.
So,
I know Riverdale lost yesterday in their state championship game.
Well, I mean, that's. And so many, and Jack Doss started doing some of this stuff a few years ago, but I see you doing this in women's basketball, and I just think, I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by that. I think that's the way to go, and, you know, I just think that we've got to play the best competition that we can play, and you don't, you know, your kids just don't back down from anybody. It's just here we go. Let's play them. See what we can do.
And they like it. You know, our parents like it, you know, and just, you know, not only play them teams, but you're going to play every team, you know, in Alabama who, you know, we played Hoover, we played Spain Park, you know, played Madison Academy, we played Ramsey.
Yeah.
We're going to play them Sparkman every year. We're going to play them teams that are competing in their classifications for the state championships in their classifications. We love it.
Tim, is AAU basketball for girls is, and I don't mean this to say it like it's a problem, but is AAU basketball, do they stick their nose in women's basketball like they do in men's?
Well, and I've had to answer this a bunch over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. For me as a coach, I guess maybe I get maybe a little more respect from the AAU coaches, and my communication with them is probably out of the norm for a lot of high school coaches, because I can call, you know, any of the AAU coaches that my kids play for and ask them, hey, will you work on this? Will you work on, you know, this situation with them or this skill with them, and they'll work with me.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of high school coaches don't have that. You know, I try to reach out and whatever's going to be best for my player to get the best out of her, then we want to work together here. You know, so for me, I don't have a problem with it, but I know a lot of other coaches that do.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you have not had a problem winning back-to-back state championships and just increasing the visibility of great basketball that's being played here in the state of Alabama. And just want to thank you for that, Coach, and for your passion for the game and giving back so much. And congratulations on being back-to-back state champion. It was a privilege and an honor to cover you on the AHSAA radio network in the semifinals and the finals this year. And just want to wish you the best going forward and the best in your health. And I know you had a pretty important scorekeeper that kind of got you over the top as well this year, too.
You talking about my dad?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Yeah, he's been with me for all my years. You know, he's the guy that still lives in Montgomery. You know, we're in Hazel Green, which is about three and a half hours from Montgomery. He's going to burn that road up, you know, getting to that basketball game so he can keep that book. He ain't going to miss a game.
Well, you wrap your arms around that fella every chance you get, pal. I mean
exactly.
That. I mean it. And mighty happy for you. Mighty proud of the job you're doing. And thank you for what you do for so many children, Tim. Take care.
I appreciate
God
it, man.
Bless
appreciate
you.
Y'all having me on.
All right, buddy. Take care. We'll see you down the road. Does a great job, guys. I'm going to tell you, Tim Miller's done a great job everywhere he's ever been. He's coached it, from get to go. And he's he does a great, great job, and congratulations on winning another state championship. I'll tell you about some state championship guys. Check out our buddy Randy Bergen and Danny Spivey tomorrow from 11 to 1 on Southern Fairways Radio Golf Show. And, boy, that's some good stuff. You love golf, you'll love Randy and Danny. They've added a third partner on there, the beauty added to the beast. I can promise you they got some great, great golf stories on there. They cover golf at every level. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Yeah. you know, when you look around the Southeast, a lot of these colleges now are starting spring ball. And coaches are on the road. Once they start spring ball, I guess those guys kind of have to stay kind of close to home. Brian Vincent's the offensive coordinator at UAB, former head coach at Spanish Fort, former OC at South Alabama. Coached all around the state of Alabama. And, Mark, you got him on this morning, and I know that Bryant has got a young man from Spanish Fort, Tyler Johnson, who's playing quarterback for those guys, came in and did a great job for them late in the year. Of course, when we talked to Bill last week, a couple of weeks ago, he was all excited about the things that are going on in Birmingham. Bryant, thanks for joining us this morning, pal.
I appreciate you guys having me, man. It's good to hear from you guys. Good to hear your voices. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, Bryant.
Doing wonderful,
We're doing
coach.
Good, pal.
It's good to hear you too, buddy. I'm so glad you're able to join us this morning. We've all been real excited about the UAB program and how it went away and came back and the success y'all had last year. We talked to Coach Clark a couple weeks back and talked about what he saw. Tell us what you saw and how this program got back together, got back on its feet, and had such a fantastic season last year.
Well, I think there were so many things that came into play, and I feel like I can speak strongly on this from being there in 14. Being there in 14 when it shut down, when we went 6-6 and, we had everything we had, just fought with everything we had to get those six and won that sixth game against Southern Miss, and then they shut the program down the next day or 2 days later. And back then in 14, you would go around and UAB football, it was just like, yeah, okay. There wasn't any excitement. Nobody was really bought in except the people in the building, Coach Clark, the coaches and the players. And we still had some fans. UAB's always has its loyal fans. And then when I came back last January, and they had went 8-4, it's almost like, wow. Maybe there's a shot here for this. You could see it growing in front of your eyes. And then as the season transpired last year, there were so many things. Like our fans in the city of Birmingham has totally wrapped their arms around this program. And it's been really cool because I was here when it wasn't like that.
Right.
And now it is, and now it's cool. Like, the cool thing now is to play football and go to UAB. And it wasn't like that in 14. And we've got a $25 million football facility. We've got an indoor connected to it. We got a $175 million stadium under construction. I mean, it's a really, really cool time to be at UAB with everything we've got going.
Brian, where's that new stadium being built?
It's going to be built right across from Top Golf downtown, right by the BJCC,
right,
where the Westin is, the new Westin.
Yeah.
And the Sheraton, it's all down there right by the BJCC across from Top Golf. So that atmosphere, game day atmosphere, is going to really, I think, really put us over the top.
It's been really exciting to see that program grow, and you can see the excitement and hear the excitement. My family lives in Birmingham. My mom and dad, my brothers, my son, they've been kind of keeping me posted on what's going on as far as what I can't see, reading the paper here on radio. But they've seen just an excitement amongst the folks in Birmingham supporting this program. And so in doing that, do you think that had an effect on how y'all recruited? And tell us about some of the guys y'all brought in that you're looking forward to watch and see what they do this spring and this fall.
Well, that we knew we were going to lose a big senior class, this last class, and a lot of experienced guys and a lot of really good players, but we've also recruited well the last 2 years. Our last two recruiting cycles have been mainly high school kids. We've done extremely well in the state, and we've done really well in Birmingham especially, and Mobile, with Tyler Johnson, with Thomas Johnson. I tell you, a kid that had a lot of people, a lot of people, the Spanish Fort people know, but this kid, what people don't know, he started as a true freshman, is Hayden Pittman. He started as a true freshman. He was a really good player last year as a sophomore, and I expect him to be a first-team all-conference tight end in Conference USA. I really do. So he's a kid down there that not a lot of people, because Tyler and Thomas and Pittman are also a silent force at UAB right now, too. we're really doing well in Mobile and Baldwin County and Birmingham and the high school kids. So we've got a, you know, we've got what, three starters back on offense: Tyler, Spencer Brown, our running back and lead the four. But Tyler's leadership with the guys we've got coming in and the guys we've coming in from Birmingham, we feel, you know, we're just excited. We've got a great group. The culture's been set. Does that make sense? You know,
yeah.
The culture is
yeah.
set now, and it's so hard to establish that winning culture, especially at a place that, you know, before 2014 really hadn't won a lot of games.
Right.
Yeah, had been to one bowl game ever, and we go back-to-back and win the conference, win the bowl game, and the momentum and the recruiting, and it's just, I really feel like this place is on the verge of blowing up.
Coach, when do y'all, have y'all started spring training yet, and have you already started, and tell us what y'all are trying to get accomplished, and do you have a green and gold day? What do y'all do in the spring?
We do. You know, we've had four practices and one scrimmage. We had four really good days. Then we have a scrimmage day five. That was this last Wednesday. We're on spring break this coming week. We'll come back and go three more weeks, you know, 3 days a week for three straight weeks, and finish up with our green and gold game April the 6th. We'll obviously have two scrimmages on Saturdays leading up to that between now and then, you know, when you get back from spring break. But, you know, we encourage, you know, people in the state to come out, you know, recruits, coaches, and come watch a scrimmage, man. It's fun. It's our guys. Like I said, the culture's set. Now this group has to continue it. But, you know, we're live and in color spring ball and have good, really good five-star days and with guys that got something to prove. That's fun.
Brian, are you on the road? Are you, as a coordinator, are you doing what you used to do at South Alabama, driving all over the country?
I'm all over the place, brother.
Are you kind of like a let me see, one of those guys in baseball that they a cross checker who has to approve what the offensive coaches, if they might recommend a player, do you go in behind them or do you have a
100%?
Yeah,
100%. If we're going to sign a kid on offense, you know, then Coach Clark, he wants me to see every one of them, so I make sure that I see every one of them, develop a relationship with every single one of them before we take one.
Right. So you really don't have a particular area, so now what you do is you're the cross checker. You go in right behind your coaches.
Exactly. I do that. We do that. That's our philosophy, Coach Clark's philosophy. But also, you know, I've got Mobile and Baldwin County and some Mississippi Gulf Coast, Mississippi JUCO areas, but mainly that's where they're at. The main one's at, I'm going to make sure, and then I'll give the final report to Coach Clark.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, game be over, give me a rental car.
I'm gone.
You know, didn't even have a. Sometimes it didn't even have a tag on it. I mean,
just put me
in
something.
Cool now, though. You know what's cool?
What
is? You know, in 14, you go in there and they say, "Who's UAB?" You know, tell me where y'all are at now. And I kid you not, now when you walk in, there's an excitement when they see UAB walking the door. They're like, "Man, UAB's here. This is cool." You know, so it's and it's real. You know, it's real.
Well, you know, when you start getting, and I, you know, I don't hate to say it, I'm glad to say it, when you get national sports radio talk hosts, and people like, you get a local guy like Taylor Zarzer, who's got a morning show on with Greg McElroy, and, you know, the word gets out, and then they start talking about UAB on these national ESPN broadcasts, and now just about everybody, when you start talking about up-and-coming coaches and staffs, Bill Clark's name's on there, and so you guys are right. You know, it's like you said, the culture's set.
It is.
So that's – but the hard thing is now you guys depended on junior colleges guys for, you know, for a couple of years there because you had to. And then you've concentrated on these high school guys now, which you're trying to reestablish, you know, what those guys brought to you. And the tough part of that is now once those guys buy into it, then you're going to be a dot on everybody's calendar because, you know, everybody's talking about UAB now. So
that's
the beautiful spot part of it. So,
and that's what's, and you know what, you're exactly, that's the beautiful part because we are the champs.
Yep.
We want people to want to play at the circle of us. And when that happens, Now, you know you're where you fought to get to. Now we're going to fight to stay there.
Yeah, well, and now with the stadium coming up there, and that, they're tearing the interstate down.
I know. Right. I was up there last weekend. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Just,
you know, and they're building stuff there. And when this stadium comes in, there's going to be state-of-the-art stuff. And that's it's not just going to be Birmingham. You're going to see North Alabama. And, you know, what's going to be interesting to me and Bryant, this is going to be interesting. How the University of Alabama Board of Trustees, how's that going to work out? I mean, you know, now there's two entities. There's two entities in that deal. Years ago, that didn't work out so well. Remember when they tried to hire, who was it? They tried to hire Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, and it didn't work out because the trustees didn't want that to happen. Yeah. Now, that's interesting to see how the trustee relationship works out with UAB. And, hey, nobody better to handle that than Bill Clark.
Nobody.
I can promise
you.
There
is no doubt about that. The thing about it is, it's basically Birmingham's running it now.
The communities are
running it. The community and the people of Birmingham have come together.
Yeah.
And it's their team. You know what I mean? It's that team, and that's what's cool.
Well, buddy, we're so tickled for y'all. I mean, you know, Rick and I and Corey, we sit here to talk about, you know, yourself and Bill and John Gross and Chip, Lindsey, Brian Blackman, all these guys that we've seen grow up and coach in high school are now coaching and fulfilling your dream.
Yeah.
And we're just tickled for you, Brian. We really are, buddy, and we really appreciate you coming on with us today and sharing a little bit of your thoughts about UAB and letting us catch up with you a little bit.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys wanting to get us on and talk about the program and UAB. And it's great catching up with you guys. We've had a lot of great times, good memories, and we're going to have some more.
That's right, brother.
You guys take care. Don't let Bill grow that beard too long.
No, he don't need to do that.
He's like a lumberjack.
I'll keep him down, guys. Take care,
Brian. Thank you, pal.
That's Brian Benson, offensive coordinator.
They're doing a great job.
And they've hit a gold mine.
And, you know, next year's a big year for them.
Yeah.
You know, because they lost a lot. You heard what he said?
They lost a lot of players.
Yeah. And it'll be fun to watch. I hope they can keep it rolling.
With Bill Clark in charge, I promise you.
I think
they will.
That's the way
things will roll. I promise. We'll be back with more right here on FM Talk 106.5 Prep Sports Report. The faith segment coming up, the Camp Grace segment. You don't want to miss it.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile and is the summer home of Camp Rappahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others. The true definition of God's grace.
You know, today in our world, I'm just going to say it like I feel it. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I don't talk about it much. Our world is in a mess in how we look at our society, how we view other people and other people's ideas. There's too much anger. There's too much hate. There's too many things going on that are detrimental to our society, to how we view one another. You know, I saw the thing about those children from Spain Park High School and the deal that happened the other night on social media. What a horrific thing that was. Now I know kids are kids and kids make mistakes. And they do stupid things. And that was stupid. It was bad. Where does all that come from? Everywhere you look today, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I got to where I can't stand to turn on the evening news. I can't stand to read anything in the newspaper or online. All I see is anger and hate everywhere I turn. And I'm talking about anger and hate from the top levels of our government all the way to the guy who runs around with me hanging out in the afternoons on Saturday afternoon. You know? I see it everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And it's so disappointing. That's not what God intended. It is not what God intended. When somebody does something or says something, all it does, when all you want to do is tear people down, I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, atheist, Christian, Buddhist, it makes no difference to me. When we tear people down, all we do is create the great divide. And right now, folks, in the state of, in our state of our society is in a great divide. And it's sad. It's sad, and it makes me ill to my stomach. I am so embarrassed at our government. I am embarrassed by it, just to be honest with you. I'm embarrassed by the people we have running government institutions, not just our presidency or our sister vice presidency or our last president or our future president or anybody else. I don't care. It's sad. I see what I see happening every day is hate. That's what I see. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I see. And I believe there's a part of me that's beginning to believe, you know, God's trying to teach us a lesson. I don't know if we're seeing it. I don't know if I'm seeing it. Maybe I'm completely wrong. We have tragedies that occur. We had one occur this last week. People, 23 people died. That tornado didn't give a rat's behind about who you were, how much money you made, where you live, what you believed in. Didn't care. And you know what's on the other side of that coin? The people, the first responders, the people who are raising money, the people who are taking up their time to go help those people, don't care who they are, how much money they got, what color their skin is, what gender they are, what their political views, they don't care. They're there to help people. God intended for me, He intended for me to love one another. I know He did. And do I do it all the time? No, not like I should. Not like I should. But when I see this kind of thing, it just burns me up that I have even heard people talking about folks that are trying to help creating some sort of bad light on it. How dare they? Why would they? You got Benjamin Russell's baseball team out there raised $4,500 for a kid who lost his grandmother. They didn't care who that kid was. They didn't care if he was what color he was. They didn't care what race he was. They don't care what he believed. He lost somebody, and they're trying to take care of him. God intended for us to love one another, no matter what. And if we would stop with our petty differences, if we have differences, fine. Deal with it. But don't tear down. Don't create the divide. Don't make the divide wider. And this is both sides of our philosophies in our world today. And there's more than just two sides. There's all kinds of them. But there's one side that we've lost sight of, in my opinion, in our government, in our country. We've lost sight of God's word, which is telling us to love one another. I got one thing I wanted to read that I read this morning, which means a lot to me. And I'm sorry if I'm being a little bit excited. I'm a little bit excited about this because this bothers me. It just does. Here's a couple things I read. Ephesians 4, 2 and 3. Be always humble, gentle, and patient. Show your love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity which the Spirit gives by means of peace that binds you together. My last thing is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. You must all have the same attitude and the same feelings. Love one another. Be kind and humble with one another. Do not pay back evil with evil or cursing with cursing. Instead, pay back with a blessing, because a blessing is what God promised to give you when He called you.
Mark, that's pretty powerful. And you know, I really don't know how to follow that except to say amen. And there doesn't need to be a whole lot more said. I mean, that's as crystal clear as it can be said. And as my word of advice for all of us is, hope is out there. Just don't stop looking.
That's right.
Because it's there. And the eternal hope is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how often we don't look there. I fault myself for that on a daily basis. Instead of looking through the clear mirror, I look through the one that's got the lines in it that seems to distract me. On a much brighter note, we jumped on board with Radio Alabama with Lee Perryman and Michael Brannon, a couple of years ago. And Michael Brannon has made a huge difference in Sylacauga, Alabama, in that area, Talladega County, and especially with WYEA and those folks there. Today, Michael Brannon gets to marry his best friend. He marries a beautiful Jamie Lee Carter, and just a union that God brought together. And we are so excited for Michael. We thought Lee Perryman might be in the studio with us today, but I guess he found another Waffle House or something that he could enjoy more so than our company. But we're excited for Michael and for Jamie and two amazing people that God has brought together. And Sylacauga, you're so fortunate and so blessed to have Michael Brannon in your midst, and I'm sure Jamie will be just a, an added present. I mean, what amazing people. But congratulations to Michael and Jamie, and we certainly will be thinking of you today as you go forward in the first day of the rest of your life. Thanks for all of you for listening to us. We appreciate you being a part of our show. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here, same place, same time next week.